Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
We have a theme for the year. It's 2020 vision, clear vision in the year 2020. And we have a new series that we're starting after Easter, and it's called Vision from the Mount. It deals with taking a real close look at the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached and learning from it. Now, Jesus began by kind of turning the tables upside down with the opening of his sermon. Instead of talking about how the Pharisees or the scribes or the Sadducees, the religious leaders, are so blessed, no, he talks about common people. He kind of clarifies with these words: blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. Blessed are those who seek after righteousness. That could be anybody. And Jesus kind of clarifies that for the people, ordinary people, they are the salt, or can be the salt and the light to others. Remember last year's theme? Let your light shine so that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. That everybody can do, not just the religious leaders. I want to, hopefully along with you, see religion more clearly. And we're going to do that by taking a look at the words of Jesus. Now, of that day, it was kind of confusing, that is religion, because of the religious leaders. Now, let me give you an example. The Sadducees taught that the first five books of the Old Testament were the only thing that was the Word of God, where the Pharisees taught that the law and the prophets, the 39 books that we know as the Old Testament, were the Word of God. Who's right? You can see where religion would be kind of confusing and they couldn't see things very clearly. Jesus comes and really clarifies things for us. Let's bow our heads and go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, I just now ask your blessing that as we look at the words of Jesus, we can see religion more clearly. Open our eyes, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 5, beginning with verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom. Here Jesus makes it very clear what he considers to be the Word of God. He says it is the law and the prophets, the 39 books of the Old Testament. Why? Because they are the ones that he fulfills. In the law, there are three what we would call laws found in the Old Testament. Now, the first law would be judicial law, social law. And that changes in the Bible because dietary laws would change. When Jesus came and ascended into heaven, those change. The judicial laws would change if they were in captivity or they were in the promised land. Another law found in the Bible that also changed would be sacrificial law or temple law, where the way they sacrificed animals, a innocent animal had to die for the sins of people to teach the people how serious sin was. Well, that changed when Jesus came. When he died on the cross, he was that divine sacrifice once and for all. No more sacrifice was needed. So sacrificial laws change. But there is one law, that is the moral law, the Ten Commandments, that are the same from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. It never changes. It is that law that the Holy Spirit uses to convict us of our sin. Well, it is that law that Jesus is talking about, that he has come and he fulfills that law. And also the prophets, meaning the prophets are the one who give us the details, the little tidbits that tell us the Messiah has come. An example would be that he would be born in Bethlehem. It may be a small prophecy, but Jesus fulfilled it. Remember on the road to Emmaus, Easter, last week? Jesus is walking with two disciples. They don't recognize him. And he asks them, why are they so sad? They said, oh, Jesus, we thought he was it. Then Jesus opens up what? Their eyes to the law and the prophets and describes to them in detail how the Messiah had to suffer and die. And this is what we're told in Scripture. Their hearts were ablaze. Well, the first thing that Jesus clarifies for those who may have been confused about religion, okay, was what is God's Word? It is the 39 books of the Old Testament that we know as the Law and the prophets. And then Jesus clarifies that he's the Messiah and he came to fulfill them. What else does Jesus say and clarify? Verse 18. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Now, when he uses the term law, he's really incorporating also the prophets. Now, it is Martin Luther in the Small Catechism where we learn about the three uses of the law. That is the moral law that never changes, that Jesus kept to the T, to the iota. In fact, I got a cute little story to tell you about iota. Now, the iota is the smallest Greek word or letter, excuse me. And it's just a small little mark. We would say the dot above the I. Well, a teacher tried to explain to the class a new word from the Greek, iota. She says it means insignificant. It means very small. And she asked the class, could anybody stand up and teach us the word by using a sentence? And little Johnny, using it in a sentence, said, I can do it, I can do it. And he came up, he was so proud. And the teacher said, you got to use the word iota. He says, okay, iota, he said. And he said, well, the other day, the ice cream truck came into my neighborhood. And I went up to it and I ordered a popsicle. And iota the ice cream man, 25 cents. Well, he was a little confused about what that word meant. Well, Jesus in this scripture clarifies, because people were a little confused about religion or about Jesus because of those scribes and Pharisees who were teaching something different. Martin Luther says, the law, the first use of the law is a curb. It should stop people not to go any farther. And that's for the entire world, we might say. Those who believe and don't believe, the Ten Commandments can do that. Martin Luther says the second use of the law is a mirror. And that mirror shows us who we really are, a sinner. And that's how the Holy Spirit uses it to convict us of our sin. Now, the third use of the law, according to Martin Luther, is a guide or a rule. And it's only a guide for us and a rule for those who believe because of our faith. We look at it and go, wow, what a great guide. We are happy to have the law because we see it benefits us. That's the proper understanding and a clear vision of the law. Jesus came to clarify that for us. He followed the law, and it was something good. On the other hand, the confusing part was the religious leaders. They made that all confusing. And he says, listen, not one iota of the law will disappear. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will not, Jesus said. Listen to how he tries to clarify things for the people when it comes to religion. 19. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. The people looked at the leaders and said, oh, they changed things up. They have new traditions. Oh, how wonderful. Why? Because the people kind of looked at, well, there's God, and then there's the most blessed people, the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, okay? And they teach us tradition, and under tradition would be the word of God, and that would be wrong. Let me share with you in the life of Jesus how he clarifies this for you and for me. Turn with me now to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Then the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Notice this, the tradition of the elders, not the law of God. They were so upset with Jesus. Now you know why they wanted to crucify him, because their traditions were so precious to them. For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandments of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother. Moral law never changes. And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Gosh, Jesus saves his harshest words for the religious leaders who the people looked up to. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Jesus is saying, it's the heart of the matter. The Pharisees and the scribes only cared about what they thought and their traditions. Their hearts were so far away. Those who were supposed to know God the best are the ones who rejected God, the Savior. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now you know why Jesus clarifies by saying, if you just relax anything, you'll be the least in the kingdom. You see, the Pharisees and the scribes thought they were the greatest. Now, Jesus said they would be the least. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You see, Jesus is going right back to the normal people, common everyday people, who mourn, who are the peacemakers, who are meek. He says they will be great in the kingdom of God because they are the salt of the world, the flavor of the world. If they follow Jesus, they are the light. You see, the confusing part is when leaders get it wrong. And when leaders get it wrong, the people are confused. But the leader is Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And when we look to him and see that he fulfills the law and the prophets, that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world, things are clarified for us. That religion is not about the do's and the don'ts, or religion is not about tradition. Religion isn't about self-righteousness, promoting yourself, but it is about Christ's righteousness. Jesus tries to clarify this in the next verse. Listen to these words, verse 20. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, for the people, that was bad news because they're saying, who's more righteous than the scribes and the Pharisees? They're the pastors and the teachers and the leaders. And Jesus is saying, hold up. Unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What righteousness is he talking about? Well, this is in a sermon where Jesus speaks about those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. It's not that self-righteousness, it's a righteousness that comes from God. It's a righteousness where a person is humbled and meek and says, I can't be that good. I can't be that wonderful. And they're humbled and convicted by the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus really brings this out in a parable. Turn with me now to Luke 18. Luke 18, beginning with verse 9. Listen to how Jesus describes what we would say the righteousness of the Pharisees. Luke 18, verse 9. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, the tax collector was the worst of sorts. We make jokes today about lawyers, okay? Well, back then, you know, the tax collector was not somebody loved. That tax collector was looked at somebody who took advantage of everybody. And listen to how the parable goes. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. That was a tradition of man, and he was so proud of it. I give tithes of all that I get, and I make sure, I'm going to paraphrase, everybody knows about it. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We know the Holy Spirit was working with him because he was convicted of his sin. That is God, the Holy Spirit, working in somebody's life. In fact, the first thing the Holy Spirit will do is in your heart convict you of sin. On Easter, I tried to share that message with, if you're in doubt and you don't know about Easter, if it's right, there's a phrase we can say, there's something we can call upon. It's God. We can say, Holy Spirit, light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Chase the shades of darkness away. Turn my night into day. Wow. Here's somebody who was convicted by the moral law that never changes. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. These are the words of Jesus. Rather than the other, who the people would say, oh, the Pharisee, but he was self-righteous. He cared more about tradition than the word of God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. What is the righteousness that exceeds the Pharisees and the scribes? It is the righteousness that comes to us from Christ. When we're humbled, and when we see our sin and a need of a Savior. It is the righteousness when we see the Word of God is more important than the traditions of man. And that can happen. Let me share with you a parable that you might say is a modern day parable. It's very sarcastic. It's over the top. But even today, traditions can get in the way. Now, the end of this little story I'm going to tell you, it could go one of two ways based upon whether you're here at Ablaze or maybe at Our Savior in the Tulsa campus. But let me tell you the story. There was a gentleman who was on a bridge and he was about to jump off. A car pulled up and the guy jumped out and says, don't jump. And the guy says, I'm going to jump. Nobody loves me. And the gentleman who stopped said, God loves you. And he yelled, do you believe in God? And the guy who was about to jump said, yes. That's good. I do too. He said, are you a Jew or a Gentile? And he said, a Gentile? I am too. He said, are you Catholic or Protestant? And the guy said, well, I'm Protestant. I am too, he said. He said, now, are you Lutheran? Or other. And the guy said, Lutheran. He said, I am too. Well, you know, he was really getting interested and not thinking about jumping. And the guy goes, well, are you Wisconsin Synod or other? He said, other. He said, I am too. Are you Evangelical Lutheran Church of America or other? He said, other. I am too. He goes, are you Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, or other? He said, Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And the guy goes, I am too. Wow. Are you East or West or Central? Central, I am too. Are you South or North? South, I am too. He says, well, are you Texas District or Oklahoma District? He says, Oklahoma District. And the guy goes, I am too. Are you East or West in the Oklahoma District? East, I am too. He goes, well, Are you Miami Circuit or Tulsa Circuit? He said, Tulsa Circuit. I am too, he said. Are you Christ the Redeemer or other? He said, other. Are you Grace or other? Other. Are you Our Savior Lutheran Church or other? He says, I'm Our Savior Lutheran Church. He goes, I am too. He goes, wow. He goes, are you traditional or contemporary? And the guy goes, contemporary? And he says, you heretic. And he pushed him off the bridge. Now, that would never happen. But I'm telling you, sometimes tradition, what we think is right, is more important than anything. When it is the Word of God that counts. Jesus said, a time is coming when people won't worry about that place or this tradition or that tradition. They'll worship me in spirit. It's the heart of the matter. My question for you today, where's your heart? To see religion more clearly, it has to come from the heart. Knowing that you believe in the Word of God, and it is the Word of God that Jesus fulfilled, both the law and the prophets. To see religion more clearly, you have to know that it is the Word of God that trumps any tradition or law, rule or regulation of man. To see religion more clearly, you have to say, what does God want me to do? Worship and the praise and honor him with my heart. Because true righteousness that succeeds or is greater than the scribes and the Pharisees can only come from the heart, and from the heart, from faith. But here's the good news. Jesus came to save religious leaders. Jesus came to save the proud, the arrogant, those who think tradition is, this is more important than that tradition. Jesus came to save you and to save me from our sin, from the devil, from death, and from ourselves. Listen to these words. They're from the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, complete it, fulfill it. The righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified. Here's the good news. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here's the good news. Your righteousness, if you believe in Jesus Christ and as Lord and Savior, your righteousness already is above and beyond the scribes and the Pharisees. They rejected Jesus. When you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior, his righteousness is upon you. His grace is upon you. And here's the good news. When Jesus says, you have the kingdom of heaven, that's what he means. The kingdom of heaven here and now and yet to come. Here's the good news. Religion is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. To know him as the one who fulfills the law and the prophets. To know him as the one we follow. To know him as the one who loves, who's humble, who's meek, and says to each of us, we are the salt and the light of the world. You see, we're going to leave this time of worship, and you're going to go in your homes, maybe back to work. And eventually, when things clear up, we'll go out in the world again. We need to remember that we carry our religion with us clearly. That we are what brings flavor to the world, as Jesus did with the way we live. My prayer is that we will be the salt and the light of the world. That people will see us clearly as righteousness that comes from God, not from ourselves. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen.